President Jimmy Carter speaks to the nation on a growing energy crisis in 1979.
What I have to say to you now about energy is simple and vitally important. Point one, I am tonight setting a clear goal for the energy policy of the United States. Beginning this moment, this nation will never use more foreign oil than we did in 1977. Never. From now on, every new addition to our demand for energy will be met from our own production and our own conservation. The generation-long growth in our dependence on foreign oil will be stopped dead in its tracks right now. And then reversed as we move through the 1980s. For I am tonight setting the further goal of cutting our dependence on foreign oil by one half by the end of the next decade, a saving of over 4.5 million barrels of imported oil per day. Point two, to ensure that we meet these targets, I will use my presidential authority to set import quotas. I'm announcing tonight that for 1979 and 1980, I will forbid the entry into this country of one drop of foreign oil more than these goals allow. These quotas will ensure a reduction in imports even below the ambitious levels we set at the recent Tokyo summit. I ask Congress to give me authority for mandatory conservation and for standby gasoline rationing. To further conserve energy, I'm proposing tonight an extra $10 billion over the next decade to strengthen our public transportation systems. And I'm asking you for your good and for your nation's security to take no unnecessary trips, to use carpools or public transportation whenever you can, to park your car one extra day per week, to obey the speed limit, and to set your thermostats to save fuel. Every act of energy conservation like this is more than just common sense. I tell you, it is an act of patriotism. Our nation must be fair to the poorest among us. So we will increase aid to needy Americans to cope with rising energy prices. We often think of conservation only in terms of sacrifice. In fact, it is a most painless and immediate way of rebuilding our nation's strength. Every gallon of oil each one of us saves is a new form of production. It gives us more freedom, more confidence, that much more control of our own lives. So the solution of our energy crisis can also help us to conquer the crisis of the spirit in our country. It can rekindle our sense of unity, our confidence in the future, and give our nation and all of us individually a new sense of purpose. I have seen the strength of America in the inexhaustible resources of our people. In the days to come, let us renew that strength in the struggle for an energy secure nation. In closing, let me say this. I will do my best, but I will not do it alone. Let your voice be heard. Whenever you have a chance, say something good about our country. With God's help and for the sake of our nation, it is time for us to join hands in America. Let us commit ourselves together to a rebirth of the American spirit, working together with our common faith. We cannot fail. Thank you and good night.
Welcome to Great Speeches and Interviews on Access Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman, and if you're just tuning in to us, we're listening to Lawrence Lessig talked to Charlie Rose. Lawrence Lessig of Harvard University is the author of the book Republic Lost: How Money Corrupts Congress and a Plan to Stop It.
Okay, stay with me though. I mean, because this is at the heart of your book. That's not a democracy, in your judgment, because a few are making the decisions because of the power of their money and influence.
Right. So our framers gave us what they called a republic. And what they meant by a republic was a representative democracy. And what Federalist 52 says is that a representative democracy would be a government, quote, dependent upon the people alone. Now, whatever that means, what we know is Congress has evolved a different dependency, a dependency upon the funders. Mm-hmm. And that dependency is different and conflicting with a dependency upon the people, because the funders are a tiny slice of the people. Right. If you ask who in 2010, what percentage of Americans maxed out in a contribution in a congressional campaign, the answer is 0.05%. So, you know, Occupy Wall Street says we're the 99%. That's bad marketing. They should be saying we're the 99.95% who don't have access and influence inside the system, because we are not the 0.05% with the extraordinary power that funders in the system have. So that is a...
And it's even changed more now because of all the court ruling that allowed...
Independent expenditures.
Independent expenditures.
It'll be much worse. So what we've got is a democracy that is corrupted relative to what the framers intended. It's a kind of dependency corruption. And not because the congressmen are criminals. I think this is the confusion when people talk about corruption. I'm not saying that, you know, it's Rob Blagojevich throughout the whole system. I'm not saying that these are people who violate criminal laws. These are good people, decent people, who go to Washington trying to do what they want, what they believe is right. But they get in a system where they can't help but be distorted as they spend 30 to 70% of their time
raising money
to get back to Congress.
They're raising money, therefore they're not being effective at what they believe they were sent there to do.
Absolutely.
Whatever their political opinion.
Right.
You know, if you got to worry about getting reelected,
or get your party back in power, you can't help but be distorted. You become shapeshifters as you constantly adjust your view in light of what you
do. So how do you change the financing?
Well, there are two questions. What's the right answer? And the second one is, how do we get there?
Right.
The first one's easy. You know, so I think
what's
that
the right answer, then?
So the right answer is a way of funding elections that's a small dollar system for funding elections. I describe a version in my book which is a little bit different from the ones that have been proposed. It basically says, look, all voters pay at least $50 in taxes. So let's take the first $50 you pay and rebate it to you in the form of a democracy voucher. Mm-hmm. And then you can use that voucher to give to any congressional candidate, as long as that candidate agrees to fund his or her campaign with those vouchers only and contributions of up to $100 from any citizen. Okay, so $50 a voter is $6 billion in the election cycle. That's 2.5 times the amount spent in 2010. So it's real money. And if it were a system where the majority or 70% of candidates opted into that way of funding their elections, then nobody could believe when Congress did something stupid that it was because of the money. It may have been because there are too many Democrats or too many Republicans, whatever, but it wouldn't have been the money, because we had removed this fundamental source of cynicism in our system, because congressmen would be raising their money in chunks that nobody could believe would be biased.
And what chance does this have?
Under this Congress, you know, exactly zero. I looked it up on Google. I checked it. It's zero.
Zero.
Yeah. So what we need is a movement outside of Congress to force the institution into adopting the kind of funding system that we can trust again. Because, you know, they got elected under the old system. They don't want to change it. Many of them see their life under the old system as a stepping stone to becoming lobbyists. There's a kind of farm league for K Street, as Jim Cooper from Tennessee describes it. Mm-hmm. And so they don't want to change a system where lobbyists won't be as valuable.
Congress.
Right.
Attractive life.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Whatever was that happened to McCain-Feingold?
So it's effectively dead. There are some parts that still survive. But, you know, its strategy was different. The strategy was to say, oh, there's certain kinds of money we don't like. Let's try to dampen it down. And that's been the strategy of reform for the past 30 years. And my view is that's just never going to be enough. You're never going to succeed by trying to silence certain kind of speech in the system. They always find a way to get their influence back in. Instead, we have to find a solution to add more speech into the system, more money into the system, but money that isn't distorted in the way that we think big money is.
So you're a democracy voucher.
Democracy voucher is one way.
Yeah.
That's right.
So what else are you working on when you try to deal with the idea of the way the American political system works?
Well, I think the hardest part of this problem right now, you know, so the first one was what's the right answer?
Right.
The second one is how do we get there? The hardest part is recognizing that people from radically different perspectives need to work together to get there. right? So I went to K Street and I gave a teaching at K Street. And what I said was, you know, you guys may believe in capitalism or not. I mean, I believe in capitalism, but you may or may not believe in capitalism. But nobody believes in crony capitalism. And if you would start inviting Tea Party people down to these meetings and start talking about crony capitalism, you could begin to build a movement that was across the board movement for reform. And this could have been scripted in Hollywood. Just then a guy raised his hand and he said, you know, I was one of the founders of the Tea Party. And I run a website called AgainstCronyCapitalism.com. And I can guarantee you, if you were to start talking like this, you'd have all these Tea Party people down here supporting this movement. Well, after I said that, I started getting killed in the left-wing press by people who are saying this is absolutely the wrong idea to try to begin to talk to those, quote, racists from the right. And you know, my view was, well, wait, I'm not a mathematician, but if you say you're speaking for the 99%, and we take 100% and you remove the 30% of Americans who call themselves supporters of the Tea Party, I'm not sure how you get to 99%. But the point is, we have these business models in American life, media as well as politics, that are focused on polarization. Like, let's teach each other to hate each other. And the idea of teaching each other to talk to each other, not by giving up your views, not by compromising, but just saying we need to be able to talk to each other, is the hardest thing to begin to motivate people around. But that's the essential step to getting any kind of change at the level of
Constitution. Okay, suppose I said to you, okay, let's make this table that we're sitting at, you know, a venue for debate on the important questions that ought to be looked at in the coming presidential campaign, congressional campaign as well.
I thought that's what it was.
And it is indeed that. But tell me what the issues ought to be. That's what I'm asking.
Well, you know, at least we've also got to have another debate where we can have a political system where people actually trust the results are the product of principles as opposed to money. 75% of Americans believe money buys results in Congress. Mm. And when 75% believe money buys results in Congress, they naturally, if you're not the person with the money, stay home. They don't participate. Mm. They have enormous cynicism. It's an institution which New York Times 2 weeks ago reported has 9% confidence in America, right? 9%. There are more people who believed in the British crown at the time of the revolution than who believe in this Congress today. So I think we've got to recognize this institution is fundamentally bankrupt, politically bankrupt. And until we can begin to earn the respect, restore some of the trust in the institution, we won't have a system that can call itself the government of the people.
Republic Lost, How Money Corrupts Congress and a Plan to Stop It. Florence Lessie, thank you.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Great to see you as always.
Great to see you.
You can hear great speeches and interviews on accesssacramento.org, or you can go to greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texas, County, Monterey, Faraday, Santa Fe, Tallapoosa, Glen Rock, Black Rock, Little Rock, Oskaloosa, Tennessee, Chicopee, Spirit Lake, Grand Lake, Devil's Lake, Crater Lake, the Beach Lake. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Louisville, Nashville, Knoxville, Ombabaka, Shepherdville, Jacksonville, Waterville, Costa Rica, Pittsfield, Springfield, Bakersfield, Shreveport, Hackensack, Cadillac, Fond du Lac, Davenport, Idaho, Jellicoe, Argentina, Diamantina, Pasadena, Catalina, Sea, Guatemala. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Pittsburgh, Parkersburg, Gravelburg, Colorado, Ellensburg, Rexburg, Vicksburg, El Dorado, Larimore, Atmore, Havistaw, Chattanooga, Chasta, Nebraska, Alaska, Opelika, Baraboo, Waterloo, Kalamazoo, Kansas City, Sioux City, Cedar City, Dodge City, what a pity. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been everywhere.
On thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of rain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plains. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and he crowned flagrant with brotherhood of sea to shining sun.
Folks that I know, tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing this song. We meet again, don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
Rapper!